In the name of the crucified and risen Christ. Amen. Poor old Doubting Thomas. What a nickname. What a way to be remembered. They don't tend to remember Thomas for his bravery. For example, when the other disciples warn Jesus not to return to Judea due to threats on his life, it is Thomas who says, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." We don't call him Brave Thomas. He is known as the father of Christianity in India, one of the oldest Christian communities in the world, the only place outside of the biblical world where Christianity was not spread through violence. But that's not how most Christians in the West remember Thomas. We don't even tend to remember his moving confession of faith that closes this gospel, "My Lord and my God." Is he believing Thomas, confessing Thomas? No, Doubting Thomas, that is all that he gets. But see, this is one of my most favorite stories in all of Scripture. I think it is one of the most beautiful visions of the resurrection that Scripture gives us. But I think this story is the victim of kind of chronic misreading, no doubt thanks to the catchy nickname and all those great old Renaissance paintings, you know the ones with Thomas a digit deep in Jesus' side. When we read this story, when we hear it, I think we get so worried about Thomas. Are we like him? Are we not? Do we doubt? Do we believe what we even cannot see? We're so worried about the terrible branding that we miss the most important part of the story. Jesus comes back scarred. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus has descended to the dead and returned to life. In the mystery of God's love for us, Jesus has gone from the core of our mortal experience, which is the experience of pain and death, to its polar opposite. Christ, risen by the power of his divinity, we have lived the most sacred days of our Christian life together to herald the risen Christ. And he is a man with scars. He is a man with open wounds. To be resurrected, to be redeemed, to be holy, does not mean to be made whole. It does not mean being perfect. It does not mean never having been hurt. There is no thing that could have happened to us that God is not waiting for us on the other side. There is no thing that we can have done, because the wounds that we inflict, they harm us too. There is no thing that we can have done that stands us too far outside the limits of God's grace to be brought back into the fullness of relationship, to be brought back into the fullness of life. This whole story is a continued message of redemption to sinners, the continued explication of the message of the resurrection and what it means for the whole world. This is not really about Thomas at all. This is about Jesus. This is about Jesus and all that he has endured and all that we ourselves can be resurrected from, restored to, all that we can be redeemed to. This doesn't seem like a world where much can be redeemed. Oh, don't get me wrong, God has plenty of material, but there are some mornings where things can feel a little bleak. There are acts of violence against houses of worship that just seem to keep coming. Black churches are burning in Louisiana. The terrible shootings at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, the mosques in New Zealand, the churches in Sri Lanka, and just yesterday, a man running into a synagogue in California, wounding people and taking a life. Each of these incidents on its own is a terrible tragedy, but when taken together, it's kind of hard to know what to say. Yet when I reread this gospel, it struck me that now is not all that different from the world then. If you remember at the beginning of this gospel, the house was locked for fear of the Jews. The people inside the locked house are all Jews too, and so is their risen Lord, but the world is so mixed up and confused that the disciples are afraid of their own friends and neighbors. Jesus had caused political trouble. Governmental and religious power structures had retaliated against him. Tensions had escalated so much that their friend had died. So for better or worse, the disciples are locked up for fear of the Jews. And it is into that locked room that Christ enters, bidding his disciples peace, urging them to receive the Holy Spirit, encouraging them to go out into the world to forgive sins. Now, 8 days later, when our story continues, the disciples are still in a house locked tight out of fear. Why? They have seen Jesus and received the Holy Spirit. What is going on here? I think just like we get distracted by Thomas and miss the gift that Jesus is giving, the disciples have been distracted and they have missed the gift of the Spirit. They keep trying to convince Thomas that they have seen the risen Lord, but they're still just too afraid of everything else they have seen. The wounds on Jesus' body may be too fresh in their minds. To have received the Holy Spirit at this moment doesn't seem to have mattered much, because they're keeping the Holy Spirit locked up tight in the house with them. See, this story is shot through with redemption, shot through with fresh chances, shot through with new possibilities. This story is a vision of the resurrection. Christ is risen. Christ has beaten back death itself. Christ brings the Holy Spirit, the animating breath of God's world, the same Spirit that moved over the waters in creation. And Christ also brings all his wounds and all his scars. I think we all long for redemption. I think we all desire new life, to be set free from parts of our past, to be forgiven the sins that we have committed, but larger than that longing can be our sense of shame, our fear of embarrassment. It's too scary to imagine standing before God the same way that God stands before us. Never mind that God already knows it all. Never mind that God just wants to open the doors and get us out of our locked up hearts and back into the world. There is nothing that can have happened to us and nothing that we can have done that could ever, ever, ever be the last word for God on his relationship with us. That is truer than ever today, on this joyful day of Jonathan's baptism. Jonathan will be baptized into Christ's life and his death. And that is the gift of this gospel. That is what we should remember Thomas for, that there is nothing that can happen to this baby and nothing that this baby could ever do that would make God turn away or cause God to forget him. This is the story of our redemption, that the risen Lord comes back wounded. To be holy does not mean to have been made whole. To be loved by God does not mean that we have to be perfect. New life in Christ does not mean that we have not lived before, but that we share our wounds and our scars with Christ, just as we share in the joy of his resurrection, just as we share in the peace of the Holy Spirit. And now it is time to welcome Jonathan into this new life in Christ.